Follow along with me for this portion of the message, Psalm 38. This is our third in the series of It's Time to Trust. It's Time to Trust. We're gonna actually finish this series out next Sunday. And then the last two Sundays of March, we're gonna be talking about new beginnings and new seasons. New beginnings and new seasons as we close out the month of March, the last two Sundays. But let's go to Psalm 38 this morning. And again, the thought is, it's time to trust. This psalm is kind of one that David's in a lot of trouble. And it's a little bit negative, so kind of hang with me as we go through it, because we're going to turn it around to a positive, as you see David does in the middle of the psalm. But let's pick up at verse number 1. David writes this. It's a petition. And he says, "O Lord, don't rebuke me in your anger. Don't discipline me in your wrath. For your arrows have pierced me, and your hand has come down upon me." So again, it's setting a negative tone, and you're going to see that through most of this psalm. But David is struggling at one of those points in his life where he's really struggling. And so he says in verse 3, "Because of your wrath, there's no health in my body. My bones have no soundness because of my sin. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and are loathsome because of my sinful folly. I am bowed down and I'm brought very low. All day long I go about mourning. My back is filled with searing pain. There is no health in my body." He's really into this health thing. It's troubling him. Verse 8, "I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. All my longings lie open before you, O Lord. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pounds. My strength fails me. Even the light has gone from my eyes." He's focused on himself. He's focused on his physical, not his well-being, but the state of ill-being. His health is just not there. Then he goes to verse 11. "My friends and companions avoid me because of my wounds. My neighbors stay far away." Sounds like somebody else in Scripture, doesn't it? A man named Job. Same types of writings in the book of Job, how he's feeling, his physical health, all that he's going through, his emotional health, and then even his family and friends. Job says, they've turned away. When they see me coming down the street, they go to the other side, you know, because he's just so messed up. And then David continues in verse 12, "Those who seek my life set their traps. Those who would harm me talk of my ruin. All day long, they plot deception." And so he's not only being shunned by family and friends, but now there are people that's out to get him. They're trying to kill him. Verse 13, "I am like a deaf man who cannot hear, like a mute who cannot open his mouth or speak. I have become like a man who does not hear, whose mouth can offer no reply. Words are failing him. He doesn't know what to do or say." Then verse 15, it takes a shift. Check this out. He says, "But I wait for you, O Lord. You will answer, O Lord my God." In the midst of all this junk going on in David's life, here comes this verse of faith, this verse that he knows he can cling to. "I wait for you, O Lord. You will answer, O Lord my God. For I said, don't let them gloat or exalt themselves over me when my foot slips. For I am about to fall." We're back to the negative again. "And my pain is ever with me. I confess my iniquity. I'm troubled by my sin. Many are those who are my vigorous enemies. Those who hate me without reason are numerous. Those who repay my good with evil slander me when I pursue what is good. O Lord, don't forsake me. Be not far from me, O my God. Come quickly to help me, O Lord, my Savior." Have you ever been in such a place where you really, your health is maybe not what it should be, maybe physically, maybe emotionally? Maybe someone has hurt you. Maybe a child is a wayward child. They're far from God. All kinds of different things can affect and impact how we feel about ourselves and how we feel about our circumstances and what's going on in our lives and what's going on in the world around us. Daily Wisdom for Men adds this from what we just read in Psalm 38. It says, when you read Psalm 38, verse 15 might seem out of place. And boy, it really does. David admitted to being foolish and living with wounds. He sinned and struggled with burdens. Friends left him. Enemies found him. People were happy to see him flounder. Opposition was his nemesis. Then a verse of unshakable faith shows up. Verse 15. David declared that God would answer his cry for help. He said his hope was not misplaced. He said that God was also Lord. This damaged man knew where to turn. God would make this man a king. After reading that chapter, would you have ever thought, oh, that guy's going to become a king? You'd think, no, this guy, he's a loser. There's no way he's going to bounce back from all of this. He's heading for the grave. He's in such bad shape. But no, God took this broken man and he made him king. It's amazing. In Psalm 28, I'll continue with Daily Wisdom for Men for just a moment. This isn't a rags-to-riches story. It's the story of a man who knew that everything bad that could ever happen to him was only going to be temporary. No matter how bad it got, he said, this is going to pass. All the pain would come to an end. There would be relief, and his hope was in trusting the God who answers. Aren't you glad that we serve a God who answers? His story exemplifies the life of the unshaken. David's story is a story of someone that, in the midst of being shaken, he comes out of it unshaken. Amen? God wants us to live that way in the day in which we live, because there's stuff going on around us that is so totally out of our control that there's just no way that we can get a handle on it, right? We have not been able to control this pandemic. We're not able to control Putin. We can't even control ourselves sometimes, you know? And so why would we worry about all this other stuff? The Word says Jesus encourages not to worry in Matthew. And he says, you know what? You can't add 1 minute to your life. You can't add 1 inch to your height. So why are we worrying about the stuff that we can't control anyway? If you can't control those little things like that, how do we think we're going to control the bigger stuff? Well, we're not. We've got to give it to the Lord. It's time to put our faith, our hope, and our trust in the Lord. And God wants us to remain unshaken in the midst of the great shaking that's going on in the planet today. Psalm 28, verses 6 and 7, David writes this. And this is kind of a response to after he's come out of actually Psalm 38, he says this, praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. So where David was in the pits, now he's out. And he says, you know, this God that I cried to, he heard my cry for mercy. Now he is my strength. He is my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I have been helped by his great faithfulness. And then from the devotional, Great is Thy Faithfulness, it adds this. In tough times, God teaches us to trust. Three lessons here. In tough times, God teaches us to trust him. If we never had tough times, we wouldn't know what God could do, the songwriter said years ago, Andre Crouch. The second lesson is to trust is to triumph. To trust is to triumph. When we trust in God, the victory comes. We triumph over the enemy. And the third lesson we learn is trusting God's faithfulness dispels our fearfulness. I love that. Trusting God's faithfulness dispels our fearfulness. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. David writes again in Psalm 22, he says, in you our fathers put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and you were and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. Let me tell you something. God is not going to disappoint us. There's things, yeah, that we go through we don't like, we don't understand, all that stuff. But God is still in the midst of all the stuff, in the midst of all the hurt and heartache and loss, God is still faithful and he will not disappoint us. He says, he's referring back to what happened to Israel in history, that he says, our fathers, they put their trust in you, they trusted and you delivered them. Father, you made a sidewalk in the sea. You opened up the Red Sea for them to cross over. Then you opened up the Jordan River for them to cross over. You defeated all their enemies. And when they brought someone in to put a curse on you, you made that man turn the curse into a blessing. And all rather than cursing them three times, he blessed them three times. And so, Lord, we trusted and we were not disappointed. If you put your trust in the Lord today, you're not going to be disappointed. You're not going to be disappointed in this life, and you're not going to be disappointed in the one that's to come. I can guarantee that one. Psalm 112 says this, good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Surely he will never be shaken. We're talking about living unshaken in a world that's constantly shaking. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of bad news. I was talking to someone yesterday, and this guy was just so full of fear because of what's going on in Europe right now. He's already got Putin taking over, you know, every country over there and then coming over here. In his mind, He's got it's going to affect him. It's going to affect his business. It's going to affect his family. He's just so wrapped up in fear and worry, so wrapped up in fear and worry. But those of us that know the Lord and we remain unshaken, surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of bad news. He'll have no fear of bad news. For the past couple of months, most of this year, in fact, I've tried to stay away from a lot of news. I try to pick up here and there to try to just kind of know what's happening in general, but I've stayed away from newspaper. I've stayed away from a lot of newscasts and just catch blips here and there. You know, Kathy will help me get filled in and whatever, talk to whoever. And so that's what I've been doing here lately because I just got tired of it. You know what I'm saying? Just got tired of it. And it begins to weigh on your mind. It begins to, make you maybe a little bit more negative. And I kind of caught that in myself. And I thought, you know, I'm done with this. You know, I'm gonna trust God. I'm gonna move forward, be positive. And so we have no fear of bad news. Our heart, our mind is steadfast. How? Trusting in the Lord. Just trust God. Just trust God. You know, I'm too old to go over there and fight, so I can't do much to stop Putin, you know. So while, you know, just pray, just trust God. Because let me tell you something, Putin will not take one more inch of ground without God saying. He'll never take more than what God says he can take. It's not going to happen. And so we understand prophetically that Ezekiel 38 and 39, as we mentioned last week, will come to pass in the future. And I think it's closer than maybe any of us think, where Russia really does come down into Israel with Iran through Syria and Lebanon and fulfill Ezekiel 38, the Russian invasion of the nation of Israel. And that's separate from the Battle of Armageddon, okay? The Russian invasion of Israel, Ezekiel 38 and 39, and then the Battle of Armageddon is way, way further in Revelation. And we know it's two different battles because there's two different outcomes. There's two different outcomes to those battles. And so this, what's happening now, as I talk with a friend this week, I believe is a precursor, maybe even a test by Putin to see how are the nations going to react to this? What's the price? And if there's not much of a price, then he's going to go into Israel. Maybe now, maybe a little bit later. Who knows? We don't know that, just like we don't know the time when Jesus is coming back. We don't know when Russia's going to invade Israel, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen because it's right there in the Word. And my pastor asked Ben-Gurion back in the early 70s, he says, Mr. Ben-Gurion, has Israel ever been invaded in its history by Russia? He says, no, Reverend, never. He says, well, you know what Ezekiel 38 and 39 says? He says, Reverend, we know. He says, well, are you ready? He says, Reverend, we're ready. In the early 70s, they were already ready, nuclear-powered, ready for what is to come in Ezekiel 38. And so he was obviously the prime minister back in that day. He was the founder of modern-day Israel. Their first prime minister there, he wasn't the actual prime minister in the 70s. He was the first one, and he was like their George Washington and Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson rolled into one person. It was David Ben-Gurion. He told my pastor, I walked the land just like Abraham did, and I claimed it for God. That's exactly what Abraham did. And so we should have no fear of bad news. Our hearts, our minds can be steadfast because we trust in the Lord. And then he says in verse 8, his heart, our hearts, our minds can be secure, we'll have no fear, and in the end, we're going to look in triumph on our foes. God is the victor, amen? The battle is won. If we read the end, we know that God wins, and that's all we need to know. And until we get to heaven, we're going to do our best. We're going to stay firm in the faith. Amen. We're going to be strong. We're going to be courageous. And all those things that we've already talked about at the beginning of this year, we're going to do those things. And we're going to believe God for a great victory. Isaiah 12:2 tells us this, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Just like David said, in just two verses, David says, what time I am afraid, I'm going to trust in God. And the next verse says, you know what? I'm going to trust, and I'm not going to be afraid. And that's what Isaiah echoes here. He said, I'm going to trust and not be afraid, because the Lord is my strength and my song, and the Lord has become my salvation. Praise God. If you don't know Jesus today, if you're fearful, you can ask him to drive out all that worry and concern about the future, because we may not know what the future holds, but you and I know who holds the future, amen? And his name is Jesus. Isaiah 25:9 says this, surely, that word again, surely, no doubt about it, this is our God. The first Isaiah verse, he said, surely this is my God. Now he says, surely this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. So let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. In the first one, he said, he's my salvation. And now he says, look, let's rejoice and be glad because he's our salvation. He's our Savior. Isaiah 26 says this, you will keep in perfect peace. I love that. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, stayed, fixed. Amen? Because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is the rock eternal. The Bible says that the children of Israel, that as they journeyed through the desert, that there was a rock that they depended on. And the writer in the New Testament says that rock was Jesus. They didn't know it at the time, but that rock was Jesus. And then he says in chapter 30, in repentance and rest, there's that word again. God wants to give his people rest. He doesn't want us stressed out. He doesn't want us fearful and worried and all that stuff. He says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. And then this, in quietness and trust is your strength. God wants to quiet our spirit. He wants to quiet our minds. And so in repentance and rest, we find salvation. In quietness and trust is where our strength comes from. Let the Holy Spirit quiet your mind, still your mind. Be still, let go, cease striving, let God do the work, let him fight the fight. The battle is not yours, but it's the Lord's. Stand still and see the deliverance that the Lord's going to bring you today. Amen. Let's remember these verses. In quietness and trust is your strength. Psalm 37 encourages us with this: be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. Now, there's a time to act, but there's a time when you know what? You need to just sit back and pray and trust and let God go before you and act. Amen? Let God go before you and act. Be still in the presence of the Lord. Wait patiently for Him to act. Don't get in a hurry. Don't ever run ahead of God. You don't want to be in that position. But then you also don't want to lag behind God. You want to stay in tune and in touch and in step with the Holy Spirit. And then Daily Wisdom for Men adds this: unshakable people are patient people. He said, wait patiently for God to act. That's hard for us to do as humans. We don't want to wait, first of all, and we definitely don't want to be patient about it, right? We want it quickly. And so he says here, unshakable people are patient people. So if you don't want to be antsy and always up and down, and never have an even keel, then you don't want to be an unshakable person. We need to be people that are unshaken. We need to be patient people. We need to trust and not be afraid. We need to trust that God answers prayer. But also remember this, that yes answers sometimes can take time. Yes answers from God sometimes take time to be answered. And so we need to understand that. Then he continues, don't get in a rush. That's part of our problem in the Western world, is that we're always rushing, especially in our country. Don't get in a rush. Don't entertain worry. There's a problem there. Again, the old saying, you can't keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. Amen? And so you can take control of thoughts. Don't entertain worry. Cast those out. Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against our knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Don't wring your hands over things you can't control. Did you hear that one? Don't wring your hands over things you can't control. The patience, catch this one, the patience you express by waiting for what you can't yet see speaks volumes about the trust that you have in God. Let's say that again. The patience that you express by waiting for what you can't yet see speaks volumes about the trust you have in God. This is a snapshot of the unshakable life that God desires for each one of us. So rest. God is with you. God is for you. Wait. He will act. Be unshakable. Be unshakable in your faith. Be firm in your faith. Amen? I want to close with this. Let's flip all the way back to the New Testament. Let's go to John chapter 14, a very familiar portion of Scripture, and it's some of my favorite in all of Scripture. It's where Jesus is about to leave the disciples. He's going to be taken up into heaven. He's wanting to bring comfort to them. And he says this: don't let your minds be troubled. You trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know to the place, or you know the way to the place where I'm going. And of course, Thomas chimes in. Thomas says to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, it's what we sang this morning, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Peter put it this way, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, but it's only the name of Jesus. I want us to live unshaken in a world that is constantly shaking, and I want us to realize that, guys, if there's ever a time that we need to do it, it's time to trust. Amen.